I think that's people's biggest hurdles, is they just can't get past themselves enough to just follow through.
Yeah.
You find your voice in this. You figure out who you are and you find your voice.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And I am so excited about our guest today. On today's show, we're going to talk about a creative approach to real estate and how to turn your expertise into income. And we are so excited to introduce our guest today, Dawn Simmons. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Dawn, I got to tell you, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for what you are doing. And I have to admit something, though. This is kind of embarrassing because I used to coach real estate. Dawn came on a call with me and she said, Andrea, people are asking me how I do this thing and I want to be able to help them go to the next level. And she said, I do novations. And I was like, Dawn, what is a novation?
Same question.
Yeah. So even for experienced real estate investors, this is a creative strategy that I think is so fascinating. And I love the idea behind it. But I would love if to start out the call today, will you tell us what in the heck is a novation?
Oh, yeah. And you're right. I do get a lot of people who ask exactly what a novation is. But the novation is the end strategy normally of a wholesale deal. Okay. So with a novation, you get it under contract still, but you turn back around and you do a small rehab. So I call myself a baby flipper, do a small rehab, and then you put it on the MLS. So you're selling it to retail buyers. The contract itself never closes in your hands. So basically you just replace the contract with a whole another contract.
Okay.
So are you saying that the seller is now becomes a part of the transaction? It's still a part of the transaction to the final closing?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Okay. So basically you take your assignment contract, you do whatever little bit of rehab or work you want to do on it. And once you put it out there, it's replaced with a whole nother contract. You're kind of the middleman. So you're still getting a paid, but you're getting paid a service fee.
Okay. So is that now is the incentive for the to do it that in that fashion? For one, you don't have to find any funding or go out and you know do a whole lot with it. But is the incentive for the seller is that they could get a little bit more by staying in the deal until after you do the rehab and then they and then you sell it at, on the back end. Is that
it, right? Exactly. Because normally with an assignment, you're only going to be a 70-cent offer. So this is kind of beyond that 70-cent offer. At this point in time, you can offer them almost 80-85% because retail value is very different with an ARV retail value versus the value with a flipper. Somebody who's going to take it and flip it wants a 70-cent deal. Right. If the house overall is pretty good, you're going to get 95%. So you can offer more money.
Okay. Okay. Dawn, this is such a brilliant strategy because, okay, the things that just went through my mind, I'm going to tell them to you and you tell me if I get this. Okay. So you do not have to have an end buyer's list. You do not have to get financing in place. You do not have to, you don't have to have like the whole, like all the things that make me crazy about real estate.
No, you do not. Basically, okay. I have an example. The house we just finished up now is up here towards Alexander, Virginia. The house ARV, if somebody was to totally remodel the home, would be $800,000. We got it for 530. I put it out there for other holes for investors. Nobody wanted to offer me anything more than 500. I literally did maybe $10,000 worth of work. So I did a little bit of painting, some cleaning, some landscaping, put it on the market for 610, had three offers in a weekend.
Yes.
Wow. That's good.
That's amazing. And so did you make the spread between?
I did.
What you offered. Okay. So how do you finance the repair? I mean, and you're talking minimal, like this is
correct. Like- that, and that's kind of when you're first starting, you might not have that money for your pocket, but put it on a credit card if you have to. I mean, if you're only spending $2,000 or $3,000, you know, you can afford to do that. I'm always going to say hire a cleaner because you're putting it out there to retail. Yeah. So hire Molly Maid or whoever that is to come in and clean it and bring in Home Jab to take some professional pictures and put it on the MLS. And so the crazy thing about it is I don't use a realtor.
Okay.
I put it on the MLS through Houseo or brokerless. Yeah. So pretty much for sale by owner.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that fee that you think you're going to pay.
Awesome. Mm.
So, but you're not where the spread is. It's hugely different.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
so sorry. What did you take home on that deal?
$89,000,
and you didn't have to get financing. You did minimal repairs. You hired a cleaner. You hired a painter.
At the most I spent was $10,000.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, this changes everything. I know that our listeners are going to be so stoked on this. Because even if you are, even if you have a day job, even if you have multiple other businesses that you are running, most people could handle what you're talking about as because you're not managing a kitchen renovation.
That's exactly. You're not going overboard. But think about it. Most of the homes that are out there are still livable. Somebody was living in them. The kitchen might be 1980s. It might not be up to where we want to be. But 1980s is fine. Your bathroom might be pink or green still, and that's good. But you can still live in it. So first-time home buyer, as long as you cleaned it and made it, you know, livable, they can still get the VA and conventional loan. It works. You price it just below the market, so your home sells fast.
Yeah.
So and is that the key to stay away from major renovations, but make sure it's livable and then go from there? That's the key to identifying the property. Okay. Okay.
So the last one, the only reason we painted because they had two bedrooms that were black.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm like, okay, we just can't have these black walls in the bedroom. And the carpets needed to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a carpet cleaner come in and that was it. And some good landscaping.
Yeah. Dawn, how did you learn this strategy? Like, how did you discover this?
Well, I had been listening a lot about novations and I literally looked up a lot of stuff and joined a couple of other sites and just kind of put all the pieces together. And last year alone, I closed 18 wholesale deals and 12 of them were novations.
That's awesome. And what is the average? So like if a normal wholesale deal, you would have gotten 20,000 on that same deal, what would you say that you would get in a novation?
Most of the novation deals, you're going to average about 50 to 60.
Mm.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So Dawn, I can totally see why people were like, Dawn, how are you doing this? And so tell us about when that started happening. People started asking you like, what was going through your head?
Well, you know, it was kind of crazy for anybody to really feel like they were asking me because I'm one of the people who just kind of sit in the background a little bit, soak in all the information and take it in and just kind of put it out there.
Yeah.
And then when people started asking and I'm like, okay, then it became more and more. And one of the ladies said, you can't do it for free. I was like, you're right. She said, you can't answer every single phone call. I said, okay, so you're right. You're right. So once people started asking, I was like, okay, I need to put this together. So systematically it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the only person I can think of, Andrea, was you.
She's the lady.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, I need a plan.
Yes, yes. And that's, you know, that kind of call when somebody reaches out to me and says, people are asking me how I did the thing. That is one of the best indicators that you've got something hot, that you've got something that is of value because people are reaching out. And I remember Brenda and I had that same conversation at one point. She was like, okay, I'm giving away all this free advice. And I was like, Brenda, here's what we do. And that was why I called her when I first started, coaching coaches. And I was like, Brenda, you got to start, because people pay attention to what they pay for. And you know this, you know, you both know this, is that you can give people all the tips and tricks and ideas, but most people will not take action on it unless they have invested something in their learning. And then they go, if I pay for it, then I got to do it. And it almost creates that accountability, not just of having a coach, but accountability to yourself and to your partner that you said, hey, I joined this thing. I spent this money. I got to do the thing now.
Exactly.
Talk to us about your coaching program. What do you teach people to do? How does it work?
Well, I teach people basically novations. So we do start with some of the basic of the wholesaling, because you do need to know how to get something under contract. Yeah. And then from there, we talk about truly how to have the end strategy behind it and to go to fruition for a whole novation project. Mm-hmm. I've had 3 of my mentorees be able to close deals.
Yeah.
I was able to talk and walk them through it. And as I say to them, you're never close to your close.
Yeah.
Everything's negotiable. I said, because even in the end, you're representing the owner in a sense.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes back and asks to have something fixed, you're always negotiating to the end.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing, is just how to get through all the steps and navigate all the pieces behind it. So,
yeah. Okay. And I want our listeners to understand, like, Dawn, when did you launch your coaching program?
Like literally what, January?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally been a few months and you already have students closing deals, and you have that average, like, closing income of between $30 and $100,000, whatever it is.
Yeah. But, like, I think my first lady, she closed one, it was 60.
Wow.
So she averaged 60. And you know, I just reached out to her. I said, don't stop all because you made 60, you know?
Yeah.
You know what to do.
Yes. Yes. And so you've just started helping people do this, and your students are already getting success. They're already making a lot of money doing the things that you're teaching them to do. And so I just want to like give you a kudos for a second, because as a coach in one of my programs, you've also done exceptionally well in getting not only results for your clients, but results for yourself in launching your business. And so tell us what's happened since you launched your coaching. Like, you just started in January kind of dabbling, and then you got a plan together, and then you did the thing. So how many students have you been able to serve here in the last few months?
15.
15.
So 15 okay. students. And mm-hmm. as you grow, and I've learned a lot from you, then I've needed to kind of bring in a VA.
Yeah.
So I literally just hired a VA who's going to work 10 to 15 hours a week, and hired another lady to help me with some of my marketing and my CRM. So, you know,
awesome.
I'm learning real quick. As things expand, you got to bring in people who have the knowledge to do the thing.
Yes. Yes. So what have you done in revenue from your coaching, if you don't mind if I ask?
Sure. At this point in time, it's been over 50,000.
Over 50. Oh, congratulations.
I love it.
And I feel like there's a common theme to what you're sharing with us that you're doing to generate revenue in your businesses, is that you find a creative way that doesn't require you being the one who does everything. Because I know that you don't do novations for people. You actually teach them, like, it's done with you. You walk with them while they're learning.
Exactly.
It. You equip them with everything they need. And you're not flipping whole houses. You're not building rental portfolios. You are finding a creative way to add value and monetize your expertise. And that's
what we teach. I teach, you know, we're here to add value. You're mm-hmm. here to add value to your clients, your sellers, to your end buyers.
Yeah.
I said, it's not just about you. You've got to put the value in it.
Yeah.
Now, would you say this is a good place for investors to start? Well, let me just backtrack a little bit. I know in the circles that we run in, there are a lot of ladies who spend a lot of money on coaching and trying to get into real estate investing and have not been able to, quote unquote, find their first deal. And in some cases, maybe they don't have the funds that they would need to go the traditional route. Would you say that this is a good option or opportunity for them to maybe pivot to novations to put them in a better position to start growing their business so that they can kind of expand to those other strategies later, as far as the financial requirements?
I'm going to tell you, I think wholesaling is the beginning of all real estate.
Okay.
What wholesaling and novations is going to do for you, it's going to give you a better understanding of what the rehab is, what it's going to cost for rehabs. It's going to give you a better understanding of negotiating with people, negotiating with contractors. It really pulls all the pieces together. So mm-hmm. when you're ready to truly flip, you know exactly what you're kind of looking at.
Yeah.
Well, I do like what you're saying about them actually getting properties that are already livable. And it's like baby steps. Instead
Correct.
Of jumping into a full-fledged gut, which is, mm-hmm. you know, I've done that. Don't do that. Not out the gate.
Exactly.
But you're able to actually, you know, take baby steps, develop your comfort level, your confidence by going through novations. At least that's what I'm hearing you say. And I'm excited to even try it for myself, even though I've done the other things. I'm excited to try, you know, novations, as well as provide an opportunity to also help the sellers. And so they can understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of conversations with those who are truly flipping, I said, reach out to another wholesaler. I said, that way that wholesaler who's fairly new, who gets something under contract and doesn't have the funds to do a few things in a week or two, then you can do it and figure out how to JV together.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah. That's brilliant.
Very creative. Yeah.
Like yeah.
We're at a point where there's enough success for all of us.
Yes.
So yeah. We just have to know how to work together for all of us to succeed.
That's
yeah.
True.
You know, I think one of the biggest objections or whiny statements that I hear from people trying to get a deal in real estate is that there's no 70 cent deals. I can't find a 70 cent deal. And so what you're sharing overcomes that objection as well.
It does, because it does come harder to find the 70 cent deals.
Hmm. Yeah.
They are few and far between at this point right now,
right.
Just yeah. because of the way the market is. So yeah. we have to adjust with that. And I think novations is the adjustment. I mean, at this point in time, and if you're in it, you know that all sellers want more money than their stuff is worth right now.
Yeah.
But the more conversations you have with them, explaining all the things that need to be done, and especially if you're not doing a full flip, a full gut job, then, you know, it makes it simpler.
Yeah.
If you're just expressing the few updates that you are doing, that's going to get more money for them as well as you, mm-hmm. then it makes a huge difference.
So when you're considering a property for novations, are you doing inspections? Are you doing anything along those lines just to kind of get a feel for the actual condition of the property or no?
It's strange because I am a virtual wholesaler. I wholesale in my backyard, and normally I kind of keep some of that stuff, but I'm virtual. Okay. Which I really talk about, because on the virtual side, I get stuff under contract first before I even visit the house.
Okay.
Because that gives me the opportunity to renegotiate.
Right.
I said at that point in time, you've described your house, your property to me. And when we go to actually inspect the property and look at it, we find more things. And now we have the opportunity to renegotiate behind those things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this is so brilliant. And so you just overcome another objection where people are like, I can't, you know, there's no deals in my community. I live in a town of 5,000 people. And so the larger communities are a couple hours away. I don't want to drive there unless yeah. I've got a deal. Like, I don't want to drive there and hope to have a deal. I want to only go if I'm going to be.
You already have it under contract.
Yeah. If you already have it under contract. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so.
And like I tell most people, if you have it under contract, I can guarantee you there's a reason why they want to sell it.
Yeah.
So they are going to renegotiate with you.
Yeah. Right. That's true. Negotiation is the key to real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people don't realize the importance of knowing how to have that conversation.
Correct.
And engage with people and not be afraid to renegotiate. So that's the key.
And that's exactly. And the one thing I say about wholesaling, once you learn to negotiate with sellers, you'll start also negotiating with contractors.
Mm-hmm.
You start negotiating everywhere.
Yes.
I tease all the time. I said, now I even negotiate with my husband, you know?
This is great.
This is great.
So is that something that you teach in your class about is like how to negotiate?
Yeah, we spend 2 hours basically talking about that.
Awesome.
Going over small scenarios, working through different objectives. So, mm-hmm. you know, I want to make sure people understand there are a lot of objectives behind things, but there are a lot of ways to get past those.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, you know, building a rapport with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, finding out the small things you have in common. I said, if somebody wants $1 million, you know, you tell them, hey, if I won the lottery, you'd be the first to get my $1 million, you know, make a joke out of it first.
Right. So now, is novation the only strategy that you're using right now? Or do you just sound that to be the most?
Depending on the laws, because we talk about the laws of the state.
Okay.
So like in South Carolina, there's no wholesaling. So you do have to double close. So we do hoteling there.
Okay.
So basically you turn back around and you have to keep it for 10 days and then redo it. But it's just a matter of working with the attorney that you have, because even then it might not even require any funds as long as you have another contract in hand for the end buyer.
Okay. So if I'm doing research in the area, in the state that I'm in, am I doing research using novation or using wholesale?
Wholesaling.
I'm looking at what the rules mm-hmm. and guidelines are for wholesaling.
Correct. Okay. Because novation is the end strategy of a wholesale deal.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I can totally see why someone would need a coach to do this though, because I have 100 questions and I'm like, I'm not going to ask Dawn all her secrets on this call, but I can see why, like, you having done it successfully so many times and successfully teaching other people who are successfully completing projects. I am such a believer in practicing proven principles mm-hmm. and like learn from somebody, because if we're talking contracts and big, you know, big mm-hmm. deals, like we're talking $800,000 house here or even a $200,000 house, mm-hmm. then you want to follow guidance and advice from someone who's done it before. Because for some people, what you're describing, for most of us, this is life-changing money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we're talking about.
So oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if you have a day job and you don't need to do a wholesale deal in order to make the money, like that could go straight into your retirement account. Mm-hmm. That could put your kids through college. Yeah. That could, you know, all the possibilities of how what you're talking about could change someone's life.
Oh, no doubt. And you don't even have to do that many deals in a year. So yeah. It's a huge difference than signing a contract, you know?
Yeah.
If you
get
in three or four, then you've kind of made good money for the year and can decide what flips or what other projects you want to do.
Yeah. I love this idea. I might have to reach out to you, Dawn. Add you to my
I'm here.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Dawn, tell us, okay, with it, I know that it's probably simple, but it's not easy, because most of us have mindset thing. Like we've got hurdles we've got to jump through about just being the one who goes and reaches out and does the thing and has the confidence to get it under contract. What do you find holds people back? Even when they, like, even if I hear about this concept, it's a really cool idea. What holds people back from taking action when they hear something really smart like this?
I feel people start and then one bad phone call throws them off.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens. And I tell people all the time, that bad phone call might've just been a bad day for a person. So I promise you, if you call them back in 2 weeks, they probably don't even remember you. So there's nothing wrong with calling them back then and then seeing if you caught them at a better time.
And have you been
successful? Follow up. We never close a deal in the first phone call.
Okay.
It usually takes three. Mm-hmm. It normally takes three. I literally have bought just two houses in Elizabeth City, North Carolina for $30,000 a piece. Mm-hmm. I spoke to this lady for 18 months.
18 mm-hmm. months.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had to nurture it.
Instantly, just small text. And I tell people all the time, it's small text message. It's not even a text message asking, are you ready to sell your house yet? It was, we had a conversation last time how her sister was in the hospital. I sent her a text just asking, how's your sister?
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then she finally called me back and she said, aren't you the girl who wanted to buy my house, honey?
Yes, honey, that's me. So now, do you find that when you're talking to your students and if their hurdle is the communication piece or being kind of shut down after that first call, are you able to kind of walk them through it so that they can understand the importance of that communication?
We do. We talk about doing it a little differently. I said, okay, if you feel uncomfortable and you haven't found your comfortability, you're going to do it as a team and you're going to pretend like you're the VA.
Yeah.
I said, you're going to get on the phone call and you pretend like, hey, I'm just kind of getting the information that you're the VA behind it. And at the end of the conversation, you're going to schedule a secondary appointment for somebody else to reach out for them.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the crazy thing about it is because you schedule that appointment at that point in time, you're going to be the one calling them back. And then you're going to say, oh, John, I am so sorry. Andrea is on the other line. So you get me again.
Yeah.
That's how it makes it comfortable.
Yeah. That's great. That's a great point. Mm-hmm. That's great.
So at least you've gotten past the first conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Now you're into the second conversation. They already know who you are.
So you're building a rapport, slowly building rapport. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So that way you don't feel like you have to rush everything the first time.
Yeah. That's funny that you describe it that way. Cause I know in real estate investing at my rentals, I describe myself as the manager, not the owner. See? Let me check with the owner. You know, they kind of tricky.
and that's exactly. If for some reason you can't seem to make the numbers work, then you tell them, do you mind holding off for a minute? I need to talk to the underwriter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You put it on somebody. Yeah.
That's exactly. So it gives you a minute and you blame it on somebody else.
You go call your coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I'm freaking out. What do I say?
That's great. I love that.
So I think that's people's biggest hurdles is they just can't get past themselves enough to just follow through. I said, you find your voice in this. You figure out who you are and you find your voice.
I love that. I think, you know, I think if any person listening to this, if they knew that if they had 100 conversations, they were going to make $100,000, would they pick up the phone?
Right.
We have such call hesitation, and I'm queen of this. I had this for years where I was just like so afraid of rejection or feeling like I put somebody off. And part of that's just how I'm wired. I know there's people, and maybe you guys don't struggle with this, but I know for me, like my personality type wants to be liked, wants to be easy. I don't want to make people uncomfortable. I mean, I make people uncomfortable all the time, but I never want somebody to be uncomfortable with how I'm approaching them. I love the relationship approach. I don't want to feel like a hard sell ever, but it's really, and I know that a lot of that is about me. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people in the world that say, just get to the point. But it's my own head trash about like a fear of rejection. And, you know, I heard this great thing the other day that like the number one human fear is called orphan syndrome is how they describe it. But it's a fear of abandonment.
Okay.
And so sometimes the things that happen in our past or our upbringing or even just how we're naturally wired can make it more challenging to pick up the phone. And the thing that I know for sure is the only thing that overcomes that is doing the thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And I always tell people in the conversation that we have with the ladies, I said, never feel like anything went wrong because you're always going to leave it on a good note. The key for it is, I'm so sorry we couldn't come to an agreement at this moment, but is it okay if I give you a call back in 2 to 3 weeks just to see how everything went?
Yeah.
That way you always leave everything on a positive note, and you just never know if you come back in 2 to 3 weeks where it stands.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good tip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a situation with one of our rental properties this last week where we got a text message saying, did you get the certified letter that we sent? And my husband got the message and he's like, Andrea, I did not get a certified letter. What should I do? And I'm like, call them and make them like you. We had trees, like dead trees on the back of a property, and we're trying to get an estimate. It's going to be $6,000 to remove these trees. And these people are like threatening to sue us if we don't remove the dead trees that may fall in their yard. And we're just like, you know, I don't know if that's a suable offense to have a tree on your own property that might have something happen in the future. But I was like, you call them back and you enlist them as your ally.
Yeah.
Like make them like you. Yeah. Make, you know, and you can't make somebody like you, but you know, they were pretty harsh. And by the end of the call, they were helping him find a tree company to get another bid. They were making referrals to him. They were like, and he's like, I'm going to let you know as soon as I get somebody booked. Mm. But you know, I called 3 people. We got a bid that was way high, and just for the little bit that it was. And we are doing our darndest to figure this thing out. Who do you know that could help us with this? And they are laughing and joking by the end of the call.
Yeah.
And I was like, so many people would have just like put their head in the sand and like not called them.
Right.
And just let it go, let it escalate, see what happens, because they don't want to deal with the conflict. But there's always a way to make someone like, it's always a way to leave it good.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And that's exactly. And that's what I tell him. I said, you know, and like he did, he reached out. You never know who knows who.
Yeah.
I said, one of my ladies gave me a call. She had it under contract and they had a foundation issue. And with a VA loan, you can't have a foundation issue. Uh-huh. So the first person came out and they gave her a bid for like $18,000. I was like, oh no. I said, let's make 3 other phone calls, have 3 other contractors. By the time we had it done, it was such a simple beam that cost $3,000.
Nice.
Yeah.
We went from 18 to 3, but she was in full panic mode. Oh, it's going to take away from the profit. I can't have it fixed. And I was like, just slow down.
Right.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Let's make some other phone calls.
Yeah, you do find that communication a lot of times is the key. If they're sending, like in Andrea's case, they're sending a certified letter or whatever the case may be, they just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then acknowledge that you hear them. So in some cases, instead of them picking up the phone and calling you, that's their first natural step is to, I'm just going to send a letter. And who knows where that came from. But mm-hmm. then if you follow that up with, you know, communication, and I've dealt with that with a renter too. They were really, really upset and they just wanted to know what was going on. So if we remind ourselves of that, this communication is key. Usually that's the answer exactly. to most of our problems is communication. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And that's exactly that said, you can novate any property there is. And yeah. I don't know if you guys ever look on Zillow or Redfin and see as is properties.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much novations.
Really?
Somebody got it under. Mm-hmm. And basically they put them on there so they can collect other investors.
Yeah. So now do you communicate that with the seller?
We do. Mm-hmm. Okay. I tell them I put one on there in Indiana. I said, okay. You know, we're going to have to get other investors. I said, we're going to put it on as is. I said, we're not fixing anything whatsoever. And as they call in to go see the properties, investors go see the properties, I'm always following up and putting them on my VIP list.
Yeah. That's good.
This is great.
So, yeah, I'm loving what you're doing there, Dawn. I'm loving it.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's got a lot of moving parts, but once you start working the parts, everything just kind of goes smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I always say you never close till you're closed.
That's right.
Yes, I know that's true. Well, Dawn, if somebody wanted to learn from you, because I know a lot of our listeners are going to be like, okay, how do I get started? How fast can I reach out to Dawn? What is the best way for someone to connect with you to take a next step to learn about how you help people learn novations?
Sure. They can email me at hello@growbiz.solutions.
All right. And then do you host workshops or trainings or like?
I do. We just finished a workshop. I was just talking to one of the other ladies. I think I'm going to do a 4-day boot camp.
Woo, girl.
And we're going to do a 4-day quick. You got some homework. You got some things to do. Let's move it.
Yeah.
I love it.
4-day boot camp coming up next month.
Awesome.
So, but I have workshops. I try to do them once a month.
Uh-huh.
We've got another session that starts the end of May. And we'll kind of go from there.
Awesome. Awesome. And how would someone know if they are a good fit? Like if they would be a good fit for you to work with?
Usually I do a call. We talk about where you're at and where you're trying to be. And if you have the time to do it each week, I give homework. I text to see if you did the homework. Yeah. I always tell them, you know, don't ghost me. If you haven't done it, just say, hey, I haven't gotten a chance to get to it, but do not text me back.
Okay. I love that. That's proactive accountability. Mm-hmm. I love it. And that's what most people need is they need somebody who cares if they do the work or not.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And then we do a 30-day follow-up just to kind of see where you're at and what I can do to kind of help you push forward.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Well, I love what you're doing. We are super impressed with you. I know that there are lots of people that are going to reach out to you and ask for. So if they reach out, should they just ask for a strategy call? Say, hey, I heard you on the Andrea Engstrom show. I'd love to chat with you if this is a good strategy for me. Okay, great.
Exactly. Kind of see where they're at and, you know, where they need to go and see if it's more about coaching and go to Andrea's, more about flipping, go to Brenda and kind of stay from there, you know? You just never know.
I love it. I love
it. Enough to go around.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, when we are on the podcast each week, we ask our guest to issue a challenge. So if you could challenge our listeners to do one thing to take bold action this week, what would you challenge them to do?
I would say pull you a list of just 300 sellers and actually make some phone calls. I think you have to put it out there and make the phone calls. That's the only way we get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm. Yeah. So do you recommend people call like houses that are listed on the MLS or how do you, who are they calling?
Normally I say high equity owners.
Okay.
So pick an area that you've got high equity owners or absentee owners.
Uh-huh.
Kind of go from there.
Okay. So call 300 high equity owners, pull a list in the area you want to do this. You're calling high equity owners and you're asking if they would be interested in getting an estimate on their house.
Correct.
Sell it. Okay.
Have they considered selling it and would like an offer?
Yeah. Yeah. And then our listeners better hit you up so they know what to do next.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I love it. I love it.
And we talk numbers and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Fantastic. Beautiful. I love it.
All right. Well, Brenda, if someone wants to know how to connect with you, what is the best way for them to reach out to you?
You can reach me at www.brendastroud.com. That's a real simple one. Or you can reach me on Roar, part of Roar Society. And we have a Facebook group there as well. And I also have my own personal Facebook group, which is my name. So that's the best way to reach me.
Beautiful. All right. And listeners, if you want to gain more clarity in your life and business, step into your confidence and monetize your expertise, go to andreaengstrom.com and register for my next workshop called 100K in 90 Days. I would love to share with you how I encourage women like Dawn to launch their own coaching programs. And you can join me in the Bold Women in Business Sisterhood. And I go live in that group every single week. Well, thank you so much, Dawn. I'm so impressed with what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, ladies, for having me.
I love it. I'm adding you to my arsenal, girl.
Yes. There we go. Yep. You get something you want to know, but let's talk through it, Brenda.
That's right.
I got you, girl.
Thank you, girl.
Yeah. All right. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Pick up the phone. Show up to your life with power and clarity and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.